Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a roller tactic subweight blend in Ableton Live 12. This is an intermediate drum and bass-based design approach, and it's all about getting that deep sub pressure, rolling movement, and controlled mid-range grit to work together without turning the drop into a messy wobble. The goal here is simple. We want a bass that feels heavy, but not bloated, dark, but still clean enough for the snare to cut through. Alive, but disciplined. The kind of bass line that drives a roller forward without hijacking the drum pocket. And that matters, because in drum and bass, a roller lives or dies on forward motion. If the bass is too static, the tune feels flat. If it's too wide, too distorted, or too long in the low end, the whole groove collapses. A good subweight roller blend gives you the best of both worlds. The physical push of a clean sub, and the character of a controlled mid layer that adds pressure, menace, and movement without blowing out the mix. So first, don't start with an empty loop. Start with drums. Loop a working D&B pattern, 4 or 8 bars, with a strong kick, a snare on 2 and 4, and enough hat or break movement to give the bass something real to interact with. This is important, because roller tactics are not judged in isolation. They either sit in the drum pocket or they don't. What to listen for here? When the bass comes in, the snare should still feel like the loudest mid-range event in the bar. If the snare shrinks, the bass is probably too long, too loud, or too crowded in the wrong frequency range. Now write a simple MIDI phrase. Keep it short and functional. You're not writing a melody here. You're writing a pulse. Use 1 or 2 bars to start, with short to medium note lengths and deliberate gaps. A small note set is often stronger than a busy pattern. Roots, fifths, and occasional octave movement are usually enough to create a proper roller feel. Why this works in D&B is because rollers are built on phrasing tension, not constant note density. Bass makes every hit feel heavier. It also gives the snare room to hit clean. For the sub layer, keep it brutally simple. In Ableton, operator is ideal if you want a clean sine-based sub. You can also use simpler with a clean sub source, but the key is the same. No unnecessary movement, no wide stereo tricks, no extra harmonic clutter. Put utility on the sub and keep it mono. Then use EQ8 only if you need to shave off useless sub rumble below about 20 to 30 Hz. Keep the envelope tight enough that the notes stop cleanly. A tight roller sub usually sits somewhere in the 80 to 200 millisecond decay and release zone, depending on the groove. You want pressure, not a smear. What to listen for? The sub should feel like it's under the drums, not on top of them. On a good system, you should feel it more than hear a fuzzy note. If it starts sounding like a character part, it's already doing too much. Next, duplicate that MIDI line or make a second track for the mid-weight layer. This is where the roller tactics really come alive. You want movement, edge, and identity, but you do not want this layer stealing the low-end job. A solid stock device approach is wave-eatable, feeding into auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8, and maybe utility if you need to control width. Use a more complex sound source here, something with a little harmonic story. Then high-pass it aggressively, usually somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the patch. That keeps the sub-layer responsible for the true low-end. This mid-layer should feel present in the low-mids and mids, not huge in the sub-sense. It's the layer that hints at menace. It gives the ear something to latch onto while the sub stays disciplined underneath. At this point you can choose the vibe. If you want cleaner pressure, keep the saturation mild, the filter movement subtle, and the tone stable. That works great for deeper rollers and tracks that need more space. If you want dirtier menace, push the drive a little harder and let the filter movement get a bit more aggressive. That suits darker club tracks and neuro-influenced rollers. Both approaches work, but the trade-off is always clarity versus attitude. If you go heavier on the character layer, keep the sub extremely clean. That separation is what keeps the bass from turning into mud. Now automate the movement. A roller should feel like it's breathing forward, not sitting in one static loop. Move the filter cutoff slightly over the phrase. Ease the saturation up into small peaks. Let the amp envelope change a touch between bars. You can even open the filter a little on the last two hits before the turnaround to create that subtle sense of lift. What to listen for? The bass should create anticipation, without suddenly sounding like a different patch. If the movement starts distracting from the groove, back off the depth. Tiny changes can feel massive in a roller if the rhythm is right. Now bring the drums back up and judge everything in context. This is where most bass patches reveal the truth. If the kick is getting swallowed, shorten the bass tail or reduce low mid buildup around 120 to 250 Hz. If the snare feels dull, the mid layer may be sitting too hard in the 1 to 3 kHz zone. Use EQ8 to carve only where the conflict is real. Don't EQ by habit, EQ by problem. If the base still feels too wide, narrow it. Keep the sub mono, and keep the mid layer reasonably centered too. In club music, width in the wrong place can make the whole low end unstable. Once the groove is working, print it. Resample or freeze and flatten the bass so you can edit it like an audio object. This is one of the most useful sampling-minded moves in the whole process. A printed bass line is faster to shape like a groove. You can trim tails, cut tiny gaps before snare hits, or tighten the start of each note so the rhythm feels more intentional. That's a big one. Rollers often get better when you stop treating them like synth patches and start treating them like sampled performances. From there, build a phrase. Think in 4-bar or 8-bar units. Bars 1 and 2 can establish the pattern. Bar 3 can add a small variation. Bar 4 can open up, drop out, or create a pickup into the turnaround. That call and response structure gives the bass line forward motion. It makes the whole thing feel like it's rolling towards something. You do not need a lot of notes to make this work. In fact, a shorter note set with one or two smart variations will usually hit harder than a dense pattern. That's one of the best lessons in roller writing. Simplicity is often the weapon. And before you move on, do a mono check. Put utility on the bass group and collapse it to mono. The sub should remain solid, and the mid layer should still read. If the whole bass changes character drastically in mono, the stereo information is too important to the sound. In a club, that's a problem. A good sign is that the groove still feels alive in mono, just a little narrower, not hollow. If it collapses, fix it now. Don't keep arranging on a weak foundation. Here's a useful mindset shift too. Don't ask, does the bass sound big? Ask, does the bass make the drum loop feel like it's moving forward? In drum and bass, that's the real test. Forward motion comes from timing, note length, and phrasing more than raw tonal size. Also, don't be afraid to keep the sub boring on purpose. That's not a weakness. That's control. The sub's job is to hold the floor while the mid layer does the talking. And when the drums are sharp, the bass can actually be more restrained and still feel brutal. That often translates better in a club than a bass that's trying to dominate every layer at once. If you want to take it a step further, try making two versions. Make one cleaner and more mix safe. Make one darker and more aggressive, but keep both mono and the low end. Bounce both to audio, label them clearly, and /B them against the same drum loop. That kind of versioning is incredibly useful, especially when you're deciding between a first drop version and a second drop version. Because sometimes the smartest second drop move is subtraction. Strip a support layer out, narrow the mid texture, or leave a little more space. The crowd often reads restraint as power. So to recap, the recipe is this. Start with a drum loop, write a tight and simple MIDI pulse, build a clean mono sub in operator or simpler, add a high-passed character layer with wave eatable or another stock source, shape the movement with subtle automation, check the bass against the snare and kick, then print and trim the result like a sampled groove. The big idea is separation and control. Clean sub, restrained character layer, tight note lengths, and phrasing that works with the drums. That's the roller tactic. Now take the 4-bar practice exercise and build it with just stock devices. Keep the character layer high-passed, keep the sub mono, and use no more than 6 MIDI notes in the first bar. If you can mute the mid layer and still feel the weight, mute the sub and still recognize the pattern, and keep the groove readable in mono, then you're on the right path. That's your mission. Build it, print it, listen in context, and trust the pocket. The cleaner the control, the heavier the impact.